Archdiocese of New Zealand of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Patitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
This is Presbytera Katerina talking and adjusting the volume on this board at the same time. And I'm happy to be back with you on In the Narthex. Father Paul's not here, at least not at the time. Father Paul is at the airport picking up our wonderful and very kind and sweet Archbishop Miron, who's been our Archbishop now for about, well, more than a month. He's been here in New Zealand with us for about a month. He's been in Greece up until then. He was ordained to being a bishop in June or July or something like that. And we're really happy to have met him. I got to meet him in Wellington when I was there a couple of weeks ago. Father Paul was there as well. And we witness what is called his enthronement. And I think Father Paul said something about that just last week or so, that we had been to the enthronement of our new Archbishop. So those of you who are Greek Orthodox, who are Orthodox, who are listening, I hope that you'll stop by to our church on Sunday, where he will be presiding over the liturgy with us, and you'll get to see him for yourself. Now, for today's show, because we were hoping to have His Eminence here with Father Paul, but there was a delay in their flight, so that's why you've got me here alone, I found a beautiful lecture that we can listen to by Dr. Jeannie Constantino, and it's on the Gospel according to John. So I'm going to do a little experiment here and see if we can get this thing started. And I hope you'll listen in. And then when Father Paul comes in, we'll fade that out and we'll bring Father Paul and His Eminence in. Or else we'll just have the good old lecture right here. This is done by Ancient Faith Radio, and it's a podcast that we can find. John Maddox of Ancient Faith Radio has kindly allowed us to use any of the podcasts on that network anytime we like. So I hope you'll enjoy. I had the blessing and the privilege of having met Jeannie Constantino a long time ago when we were both serving on the same board. And it's going to be a real treat for me to listen to her as well. Okay, I hope you enjoy this. Let's see how it goes.
Search the scriptures as Christ our God said in the Gospel.
This is Search the Scriptures Live with Dr. Jeannie Constantino. Join us for an interactive verse-by-verse study of the Bible with one of Orthodoxy's most respected biblical scholars. Study along with us and share your comments and questions by calling 855-237-2346. That's 855-237-2346. Here now is Dr. Jeannie Constantino.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first program of Search the Scriptures Live. I'm so excited about this new podcast, and I'd like to thank everybody who's responsible. First of all, of course, is the Lord, who gives us our life and our insights and our intellect and so many beautiful opportunities that we have in this world. So we give glory to God, first of all. But I'd also like to thank John Maddox and Bobby Maddox, who are responsible for most of what has happened in the past few years on Ancient Faith Radio, for creating this. And also all of you listeners for your feedback, everybody who contributes to Ancient Faith Radio, and all of you especially who contributed to the purchase of the equipment that is making this live broadcast possible. And I thank everybody who continues to support Ancient Faith Radio, and I'd like to ask you to continue to do that. So I just like to begin by reminding you that here on Ancient Faith Radio, if you would like to ask a question during the live podcast broadcast, you would call 855-237-2346. I'm not sure whether to call it a podcast.
And now we know that this is a pre-recorded message, so that telephone number doesn't apply, but go ahead and listen in, and thanks.
To ask a question, or you a question at ask@ancientfaith.com. Or the third way you can ask a question is to go to the chat room. And I'm told that everybody who's a regular listener knows how to go to the chat room. So some of you have already written to me to ask me, what about the other Search the Scriptures podcast, the one that's pre-recorded? What's going to happen to that? Well, I intend to continue with that and slowly go through the rest of the Bible that we haven't finished yet. But really, the whole purpose of that podcast was to get to something like this, to give you enough background about the rest of the Bible so that when we got in depth into one of the Gospels or one of the epistles of Paul, you would understand it well enough. So we're going to continue with that podcast, but every single week, right here on Monday nights at 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time, and all the other time zones, you know where you fall with that. We will be here discussing the Gospel of John first. After that, we'll continue and do other books. So I hope you stay with the program because I think you're going to really enjoy it. Before we get into the Gospel, I would like to share with you my approach because there are many excellent podcasts here on AFR. We have really quality programming here on Ancient Faith Radio, and I know that's why you listen, and I know that's why you give, because this is a listener-supported ministry. And that's why I and the other podcasters encourage you to support Ancient Faith Radio. There are other podcasts that do discuss the Gospel of John. Father Stephen DeYoung, I've listened to his podcast on the Gospel of John, Gospel of Luke. There are beautiful sermons that priests give on the Gospel readings from the Gospel of Luke. Mine is going to be a little bit different because I'm going to give you a really in-depth study. I teach at a university, the University of San Diego, and at a graduate school of theology, the Franciscan School of Theology, in Oceanside, California. So I've taught the Gospel of John many times as an upper division college class or as a graduate level course. And I don't want you to feel intimidated or anything like that. If you're not interested in anything difficult, it's not going to be difficult for you to understand, but it's going to be full. It's going to be complete. It's not going to be fluff. Not that what other people offer is fluff, but I want to offer you something that's real meat that will stand up to any kind of a course that you might take in any kind of institution. So that's what I intend to do. And the other reason why I want to do it is not only because I've done this already, but because I know that the listeners to Search the Scripture who have written to me over the years, and the Search the Scriptures program has been on Ancient Faith Radio for 10 years. People have written to me. I know that people are very well versed in the Bible and they're interested in it. So I didn't want to offer you anything but what you would expect from Search the Scriptures. To that end, it's not going to be a lot of patristic readings. We will do some of that, of course, but it's going to be a very detailed analysis of the Gospel. But even better, it's going to be done from a specifically Orthodox point of view. And this is something which I don't get to do at my job at the University of San Diego or the Franciscan School of Theology. Frankly, when I used to teach at Holy Cross Greek Orthodox School of Theology in Brookline, Massachusetts, that was my favorite thing about teaching there, the fact that everybody in the class was Orthodox and we could relate what we were discussing in the class to our church life. And since I'm not in an Orthodox institution in my professional life now, I'm at Catholic institutions, I can't do that. So I'm really excited about sharing the Gospel of John specifically from an Orthodox perspective. Obviously, when I'm teaching, my Orthodox perspective comes out, and sometimes my students, particularly at the Franciscan School of Theology, because they're graduate students, some of them are actually already Catholic priests. Some of them are friars because it's the Franciscan school. So I usually have a few monks in my class, believe it or not. They're always interested in the Orthodox perspective, and I share that, but it's not the same as having an audience that is primarily Orthodox, where I can bring up how what we're reading relates to our theology, our liturgics, and other things that we see and do in church. So that's why I'm particularly interested and excited about doing this podcast with you. So we're going to begin with some background material. Now, according to what I just said, that just reminds me, what was the gospel reading yesterday? Did you go to church yesterday? I hope you did. I'll bet most of you did, because those are the kinds of listeners we have here on Ancient Faith Radio. Yesterday was September 9th, but it wasn't the date specifically. It's where it fell within this week. On Friday, we're going to be celebrating the exaltation of the Holy Cross. So that means that yesterday, Sunday, September 9th, 2018, was the Sunday before the feast of the exaltation of the Holy Cross. And the gospel reading was, do you remember? It was from the Gospel of John. It was chapter 3 in John, when the Lord speaks about, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. Remember that now? It was not a very long reading, but maybe you thought, that's kind of weird. What's all this about Moses and a serpent, and what does this have to do with the cross? Well, we're going to get there, and we're going to talk about it. But being able to discuss that in connection with our liturgical life is what will make this podcast extra special for me. And I have to tell you, I have been looking forward to this for months, ever since Ancient Faith Radio asked me to do this live podcast. So what else are we going to do? I'm going to give you a very solid background in the gospel. We will talk about its historical context, the canonical issues. There were certain controversies involving the Gospel of John in the early church. Some people didn't want it in the Bible. Why? So why was St. John's Gospel viewed by some people in the early church as kind of suspicious? So we're going to talk about that before we get into the Bible. We won't take too long on this background material, but I hope you'll listen to those lessons, because it is fascinating and it's going to help you understand the gospel. I'm also going to help you to start memorizing the content of the gospel. It's not that hard to do. I don't mean necessarily verses, although you can do that rather easily. But I'm going to explain to you how to remember where to find particular gospel stories. If I said to you, where would you find Jesus talking about himself as the good shepherd? By the time we're done with this course, you're going to say, oh, that's John 10, easily. Where's the discussion with Nicodemus? John 3. Bread of Life, chapter 6. So we're going to be, there's a way that I do this with my classes, and I intend to do it with you too, to help you to try to remember. I think there's a certain value in that. It's not memorization for memorization's sake, but a sense of competency, of familiarity with the biblical text, knowing where to find things. It's a good thing to know. You don't have to play along, but if you would like to be able to remember where things are in the Bible, or why this story is in John and not in Luke, or this story is in Matthew and not in Luke, there's a pretty easy way to remember that. And those are the kinds of things we're going to be doing as we proceed with this live podcast. Why did I choose to begin our first Search the Scriptures live podcast with the Gospel of John? After all, we could have gone with any of the evangelists or the epistles of Paul. All of the evangelists are masterful writers. Each was outstanding. Each evangelist presented the Lord in his own way, and each of them did a phenomenal job. I'm sure you would agree. when you think about the Gospel of Luke, the themes there, the way he depicts the philanthropy of the Lord, the love of humanity of the Lord, nobody does that as well as Luke. No one describes for us the power of Jesus, the sheer power of him as Son of God and his miracles. No one does that like Mark. Obviously, Luke, Mark, Matthew, they have the same miracles, but Mark tells the story in such a dynamic way. What about Matthew? My goodness, the magisterial quality of Jesus, the rich teaching of Jesus that comes out in the Gospel of Matthew, none of the evangelists comes close to that. And then there's John. So why are we choosing John? Because each of the other three succeeded in his purpose so well. John's gospel is more deep, more profound, and so essential to our theology, we cannot imagine the church without it. That's why it's rather ironic that some people wanted to keep it out of the New Testament. This is the gospel that we read at the Resurrection Divine Liturgy when we begin our liturgical year, not like we just started the liturgical year on September 1st. I mean, our cycle of readings, our lectionary cycle doesn't begin on September 1st. It doesn't begin with Advent the way it does in the West. It begins on Pascha, and we start with John's prologue. And it just gives me chills every time I hear it. This is the gospel we read at that resurrection liturgy. This is the gospel that brings us back to a time before the incarnation, before the Son of God was clothed in human flesh, before anything else existed, before the start of time itself. The Gospel of John is in some ways deceptively simple in appearance. It doesn't have as many stories as the other evangelists. But even though it seems kind of simple, in other ways, it's unbelievably complex and deep. It is a masterpiece. It's not only a theological masterpiece, it's a literary masterpiece. It's the only way I can describe it. You will see this as we begin to go through the gospel. You're going to really begin to feel the gospel. You'll have a sense of knowing the gospel. If you continue to listen to the podcast, you're going to really know this gospel very well by the time we're done, because I'm going to be pointing these things out to you again and again and again. I can only compare it to something like a symphony, something like a musical composition, where, you know, when you go to see a musical and you sit down for the overture, and there are little bits of melodies from the things that are coming, you know, the main songs that are coming, you'll just hear a little bit of a melody and it's repeated. Or a symphony where there's a theme, a musical theme, a little musical phrase that gets repeated and elaborated, and, there are variations of the melody that continue to come up throughout that musical piece. And then maybe it kind of goes away, then it comes back. And it's repeated by the composer. John's gospel is like that. There are words and themes and phrases that get repeated and developed and interwoven, and they run through the gospel, and they create these beautiful themes. And if it were a work of art, it's like when you see a tapestry, and it's made of a lot of threads that are woven together. So this is what John does. He develops all of his thoughts into this beautiful symphony that climaxes at the end with the most profound theological insights. But what makes it especially impressive for me is how subtly he does it. You know, sometimes you'll be watching a show where there are people trying out, they're auditioning for, you know, to be a singer or something like that, like American Idol used to have or some of these other shows. And then we watch the people auditioning for the judges, and they want to impress the judges, right? So they'll be really loud, or they'll just make their voice do all these kinds of fancy things that they think is really impressive. And the judges aren't usually impressed by that. And John is kind of like that. He's subtle. So when you hear a really great singer who can control their voice and emit a beautiful sound that's pure and lovely, that's so much more impressive than somebody who just sings loudly and is brash. So John is like this. He's not trying to impress, but he has finesse and he has quality and he has depth and power, but he doesn't show it in a flashy way. I'm going to give you an example of his finesse, because by now I'm sure you really want to know what the heck I'm talking about. The title, Lamb of God. Who says, "Behold the Lamb of God," and when does he say it? Well, you know, right? It's the forerunner and Baptist John who says that early in the gospel, chapter 1 and chapter 2, very, very early. Jesus appears and John points him out and says, "Behold the Lamb of God," right, who takes away the sins of the world. Let's pretend you never heard the gospel before. Let's pretend we are living a long, long time ago in the era of the early church. Forget that you know what that means or why John said it. It's a little strange. So let's pretend you're in someone's house and they were reading out loud from this gospel, because that's how most Christians encountered the scriptures in the early church. They didn't own a copy. They would get together and they would, maybe somebody would have a copy, usually the reader, and they would read it out loud and people would listen. So they're going along and maybe they never heard this gospel before and they hear John say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And you might think, well, that's kind of a little strange. But the gospel story would continue and you'd sort of forget about it and get caught up in the storyline as it continues. And then at the end of the gospel, Jesus is on trial before Pilate, and Pilate ascends the judgment seat to pronounce the death sentence on Jesus. And then the evangelist just states, "It was the day of preparation, about the sixth hour." And it hits you. Oh my goodness. It was at that hour, because Christians knew and Jews knew, and most of the first Christians, especially in John's area, Asia, they were Jewish Christians. They knew that on the day of preparation, at that hour, the lambs were being sacrificed for the Passover. This is an example to me of John's artistry and his mastery. He didn't say, "John the Baptist said this about Jesus because he's going to sacrifice himself." He doesn't tell you this at all. You forget that he even mentioned that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and it comes at the end so powerfully. And suddenly you understand why we have Pascha, our celebration, at the same time that the Jews are, right after the Jews are finished with their Passover. We don't do it at the end of March, right? It's so closely tied to the Jewish Passover, and that's because we understand what Jesus was, what function he fulfilled. So that's just an example. And then again, later in the same chapter, when Jesus is pierced with a spear, the evangelist doesn't call again to your mind what John the forerunner said before. He just says, very simply, "This took place to fulfill the prophecy. Not a bone of his shall be broken." He doesn't tell you what that means, but you know what it means. Because when the people, the Jews, ate the Passover lamb, they were not allowed to break any of the bones of the lamb. So John is making the point, but he does it so well. And the Christians, early Christians, knew this, and this is what really makes it so powerful, because of the technique that he uses to get these things across in a way that gets his point across. In some ways, it's more impressive than if he were to tell it to you openly. Anyhow, my point is the gospel is brilliant. And it was written by a fisherman. System would definitely make that point, and he did make that point. So how does this fisherman write in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, etc.? How does he do this? Of course, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He cooperated with the grace of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cooperated with him. This is what we call synergy. So there was this human author, but it's not a purely human composition. And that's when you really see the inspiration of the scriptures. This is not a fisherman writing just, you know, what he knows about, which is fishing. This is an inspired author, because you can't produce something like this. You can't have that kind of insight about the Logos of God, to even call Jesus Logos. That is pure inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And yet the Holy Spirit uses us in our weakness to write these phenomenal gospels, as he used all of the evangelists and St. Paul, cooperating with all of the gospel writers and the writers of the Old Testament too. So, what makes John's gospel different? We had the other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then there's John. What makes John's gospel different? Later, I'm going to elaborate and give you real specifics, but first, I'm going to break it down for you in a nutshell. What makes his gospel different from the synoptics? It's really simple. In the synoptic gospels, Jesus talks about us in our lives. These are the gospels where he talks about fishing and farming and loving your neighbor and showing mercy and forgiving people who hurt you and not to worry about tomorrow, how you're going to be fed or how you're going to clothe yourself. In the other gospels, Jesus talks to us about our life. We should be patient and persistent and generous, etc. Of course, he's fully human in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and he's fully God, and they don't deny that in any way. They don't come back away from that in any way. They don't neglect to make that clear in any way. But in John's gospel, Jesus talks about himself, who he was and why he came, who he is and why he came, his relationship to the Father, his relationship to the Holy Spirit, and why he's on earth. That's the difference in a nutshell. So for Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is talking to us.
And you've been listening to Presbytera Dr. Costandino, who lives in California, and highly educated woman who's also teaching us about the Gospel According to John. And we found this on Ancient Faith Radio. Now, if you're listening for the first time and you haven't heard of Ancient Faith Radio, it's real easy to find. Just Google it, and you will find a huge resource of Orthodox materials to listen to, put together by a man named John Maddox and his family, and supported by the Greek Orthodox and the Antiochian Orthodox and the Russian Orthodox churches in America, but mostly the Antiochian Orthodox Church in the United States of America. And I highly recommend us looking at it. Well, listen, we're really running low on time now, and I thank you for joining us. We are in the Narthex with Father Paul Petitsis, and I am Presbytera Katerina, and we are a ministry of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of New Zealand. Our archpastor, His Eminence Archbishop Miron, we wish you to have a really beautiful weekend, and thank you again for listening.